What is required for divine scriptural baptism? What is required for a baptism that is from God? It is divine. For a baptism that is scriptural, it is based on scripture, and thereby will be accepted by God as against mere dipping or going into the water. A scriptural New Testament divinely accepted baptism requires or must have the right subject, the right purpose or design, and it must have also the right action. For a baptism to be according and in keeping with the Bible, it must, without exception, have the right subject. The person getting baptized must meet God's requirement. That's the right subject. It must have the right design or purpose. That is, we may not accept baptism for any and any reason, and God accept it. It must have the right purpose or the right design. And it must have the right mode. That is, how was it done? Is that mode, or that how, or that action in keeping with God's word? All these are imperatives. They are must. Wait. It is God who saves us through Christ. You need to be saved because you have sinned. If you are here today, you have never turned your life over to Jesus Christ, the Bible's way, that means you need to become a Christian. Wait, I didn't say you have never been a church member. That's not what I say. Because being a church member does not mean that you have become a Christian the Bible's way. So if you have never become a Christian the Bible's way, we say to you that your greatest need now is Jesus Christ. But whenever you make that step, that decision to become Christian, make sure it is not just to join a church. There is a difference. Make sure you make a decision to obey the Almighty God His way. And that includes the subject of baptism. Responding to God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. Or, put it another way, becoming a true New Testament Christian is not a ritualistic thing. It is not going through the motion thing. It is a thoughtful, rational, willing decision that you make. It can never be just an impulse. No, God would not accept that. It must be something that have to do with your intellect, your mind, where you listen to God's truth and what he says about your sinful condition. And when your common sense kicks in and your intelligence kicks in and your conscience kicks in, it says, you know, it is wise for me to give my life to Christ. So it is not a ritual that you go through. It is not going through the motion. It is thoughtful. A prospective convert is expected by whom, Brother Mitchell? Is expected by Jesus Christ. Are we there? To be taught to listen, to learn, and to understand the teaching given based on the gospel of Jesus Christ before you become a Christian. That's right. Mr. Mitchell at Atamanago University. The Church of Christ is a teaching institution. And look here, any man or woman who comes to Jesus Christ, you must be a taught person. Without exception. Wait. You must not only be a taught person, you must be a learned person. You must learn. Wait, you may not learn everything that was said, but there are fundamentals that you are expected to learn. That's right. Look at these passages. Remember where we are now, that any man or woman coming to Jesus Christ to be saved, you must be a taught person. May I? And this business where you were converted in your bed. Yes, you were converted, but not to Jesus Christ. No man can be converted to Jesus Christ in his or her bed. Unless that's the place that both of you sit when you are being taught. That's right. But the business where you jump out of your sleep and whatever nightmare you were going through and claim that you are a child of God, that is contrary to everything that the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches. A child of God must be first taught and learn. Mr. Mitchell, it slipped me. What did you say the title of the lesson was? What is required for divine scriptural baptism? A baptism that is from God, which means it is divine. And in keeping with God's revelation, the scripture, what is required for that baptism? Remember, I told you when we began just a few minutes ago that it must have the right subject. It must have the right design or purpose. It must have the right action or mode. Well, I have not gone into any detail with those yet. I just mentioned them. But what we are dealing with now is for both members of the Lord's church and prospective Christian to be mindful that in responding to the grace of God available in Jesus Christ, you must be a taught person. Look at John 6, 44 following, Acts 8, 30 and 37, Romans 10, 8 and 9. Let us hear them. Ephesians 5, 17. Let us hear these passages. Let us hear them. I said John 6 and 44 following. Watch here. No one can. That is, no one is able. You get the point? No one is able to come to me. That means, try as you may, you cannot come to Christ unless this condition is about to list or met. Let me hear it. No one come to me unless the Father. Now, God must draw you to Christ. Are you following? That's right. Notice now how God draws men to Christ. Yes. Of course, that is stating the blessing and the result that going to come from coming to Christ when God draw you. Read. He's telling you now how God draws you to him. It is written in the prophet.
And they shall all be taught by God.
So you must be taught. That's right. That's right. Christ is quoting from the Old Testament here. You must be taught. Read on.
Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned.
Wait. He still talk about, therefore, everyone who heard
and learned.
You are taught. You hear, that is, if you were a receptive listener. Because you can be taught and you know hear, you know. Just like in a classroom at your high school, university, or here, you can just sit through the proceedings. You see. But if you are a member or a visitor who come to learn, you see, everyone therefore who have heard, dealing with the same teaching, make sure you hear the teaching. That means it is registered. Everyone therefore that has heard
and learned.
Wait, and learn
from the Father.
From the Father
comes to me.
Then you make the decision to come. That's Christianity. The Church of Christ, the true Church of Christ, still believe in that. And we try to practice it. Men cannot the business about how you were converted and foolishness. These must come first. Where was it again, Mr. Mitchell? St. John chapter 6, verse 44 and 45. Remember what we are dealing with today. What is it that going to make baptism scriptural, divinely accepted? And we are listing some of the basic here. Okay? That was one passage. St. John, chapter 6, verse 44 and 45. Let us hear the other passage in the book of Acts 8, 30 and 37.
And Philip ran thither to him.
And Philip ran thither to this man who was coming from worship. Am I right?
Yeah.
But you know what? The man was coming from the wrong place. Mr. Mitchell, what do you mean? Was it idolatrous worship? No. Where he was coming from was a Jewish worship that was no more accepted by God. Christ had died and established New Testament Christianity. But the Jews did not accept Christ, and they were still worshiping according to the Old Testament system, still keeping the Old Testament law, which by this time had been nailed to the cross. This man didn't know better, want to worship God and attend that worship. The Almighty God provided someone to correct him. Read verse 30 again.
And Philip ran thither to him.
Philip is the preacher, but God miraculously provided. You know why? God saw that this man was honest. If he learned the truth, he would accept it. There are some men, even if Jesus Christ come down and teach them the truth, they will not accept it.
Yeah.
They were taught religious falsehood, and they're going to hold on to it until they end up in the eternal hell. But this man was honest, and Philip ran thither to him
and heard him read the prophet.
Heard him read the prophet
Isaiah.
Uh-huh.
And said, understandest thou what thou readest?
Do you understand what you are reading? May I? Why is that so important? You cannot come to Jesus Christ if you don't understand the truth. You may go through the motion. You must understand the wait. I'm not saying you have to know the whole Bible. In fact, I'm not even saying you have to know all the detail about baptism. But there is something about baptism you must know.
Yeah.
The first question asked is, do you understand what you are reading? Now, this man could have responded by, I have already gone university. Talk to me about understanding. I got me a deal with. Well, you need understanding to understand the will of God, because God deals with us on his revealed will. You think serving God is just an emotional thing? While emotion might be involved, but let me tell you, if the intellect is not kicked in, then all your effort will be in vain. That's right. Understand what you are reading. And notice how humility, a right attitude, goes a far way.
And he
now
said,
this man was the minister of finance to the queen of Ethiopia. My God. Who are you asking me that question? No, sir. He said humbly,
How can I? Except some man should guide me.
You get the point? There are many people going to church year in, year out. They still need proper guidance. And watch here now. Read on.
And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him.
In fact, he asked Philip to come and teach him. If you're here today and if at the end of this lesson you feel you want someone to further sit down with you and give you guidance, we are willing. There are many people here who are willing to sit with you on a one-to-one basis and make sure you understand those things that God wants you to understand before you become a Christian. Step down. You have just read about verse 31, 32.
Yeah.
Well, step down to verse 37, if my memory serves me right.
And Philip said,
If
thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said,
Wait, brother. The preacher said, now here, verse 30, do you understand? Verse 37, believe with all your heart. Watch here. The Bible's heart is the intellect, the mind. You get the point? That's right. How do you know, Brother Mitchell? Because I'm told in the book of Proverbs that as a man thinketh in his heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, where do we think? Our heart. What is the heart? Our mind. Our intellect. So when Philip said, wait, you get here. Here, ladies and gentlemen, the prospective convert in the person of the Ethiopian nobleman saw water. The preacher had told him about water and that he must be baptized. But you see, there are some preconditions to baptism. So when the prospective convert saw the water, he brought it to the preacher's attention. It's like, but you told me that I must be baptized. How you are passing the water? The preacher said, you must believe with all your heart. That's your mind. That's your mind. That's your intellect. That must come in play. You get it? Are you still on the fact, Brother Mitchell, that no prospective convert can come to Christ unless that person is taught and learned? Yes, still on that point, because it is so important. In fact, look at Romans 10, 8 and 9. Romans 10, 8 and 9.
But what saith it?
Mm-hmm.
The word is nigh thee,
mm-hmm.
even in thy mouth and in thy heart.
Wait. Oh, Lord of mercy. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible's heart is not the pump. It's not that which pumps the blood to circulate our bodies. The Bible's heart is the mind, the intellect, that which we use to think. Read that again, brother.
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee.
The word of God, that is the gospel, is near to you. How near?
Even in thy mouth.
It is in your mouth.
And in thy heart.
It is in your heart.
That is the word of faith which we preach.
That's what I'm now preaching. The word that going to generate faith in Jesus Christ and give you guidance to become a child of God the right way. Not just a church member. One more. Well, I think I quote that passage.
Verse 9
to brother.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus.
Brother, well, that's why I keep telling you all, it needs more than one person to preach a sermon, because sometime in seeing the distance that I need to go in a lesson, You will keep a verse that you previously had in mind. And thank you for helping me to preach the lesson when you bring to my attention that I'm going to run over verse 9. And verse 9 is important. Read verse 9, brother.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
You see, the Bible tell you what you confess with? Your mouth. That is, in becoming a child of God, you must not be ashamed of Christ.
Yes.
You must be willing that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
The Lord Jesus.
But there is something else they must do.
And shalt believe in thine heart.
You know where that is? Your mind. Your intellect, that must always be involved in you becoming a child of God. Then people give you the idea that religion and becoming a Christian is just emotion. You're trembling, you're walk and bench, and you're akin properly. Pure foolishness. Pure ignorance. For God, do you know that even in worshiping God, our mind, I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Watch here, watch here. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the, my God. Everything that we do in reference to God and a right relationship with God, it involves our intellect, our mind. Well, let me not go there. Let me leave that. Is it Proverbs 23, verse 7, which says, as a man thinketh in his heart? No, sorry. Yes. Yes. Proverbs 23, 7.
For as he thinks in his heart, so is he.
Where does he think?
In his heart.
You see, Brother Jonathan, I want to just establish here that the Bible's heart, or in the Bible's heart, is the intellect, is the mind. That's where we do our thinking. So you mark it when people talk about the heart. You know, the Bible talks about the heart. It is not the biological instrument in our body which pumps the blood. Our heart is the intellect. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Let us hear it. Ephesians 5, 17.
Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Somebody didn't hear that. Are we all here? The Bible says, be not unwise. Hear the Bible again, the Almighty God, through the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the pen of the Apostle Paul, said, be not unwise,
but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Brother Jonathan, when men claim to come to Christ, come to God, and don't understand, they are foolish. That's what the passage is implying. They are unwise. The Bible said, be not unwise. That is, if you are thinking about coming to the Almighty God through Jesus Christ for salvation, for forgiveness, and ultimate eternal security, the Bible says you must do what? Understand
what the will of the Lord is.
The word unwise, the word translated unwise, is the word aphron, A-P-H-R-O-N. That's the original Greek word. And the word mean without reason. A person who does not employ their reason. The word aphron mean senseless. The word aphron mean foolish. The word aphron mean without reflect. Thinking. What you say, brother? Yes. The word aphron mean a person who cannot put things together in their mind. That's reflective thinking. They cannot hear something and turn it over in their mind and put it together. The Bible is saying, no, in becoming a child of God, you must be able to do reflective thinking. You must be able to put things in your mind and put them together, let them mesh. Are we all there? Scriptural, divinely accepted baptism must have. In fact, let me, before I go there, may I? Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, so important is baptism in man's salvation that it is at baptism that the Almighty God gives the sinner a fresh start. That's right. Not when you are taught, that's not where he gives you a fresh start. Not when you believe or have faith, that's not where he gives you a fresh start. Not when you repent, that's not where he gives you a fresh start. Not when you confess faith in Christ, but when you are baptized, that's where God gives the sinner a fresh start. That is a scriptural fact. It is at baptism that all past sin and trespasses are dealt with and removed, and you start with God anew. It is at and in baptism that the penitent believer change masters. It is and at baptism that the penitent believer change kingdoms. It is at and in baptism that the penitent believer change destinies. It is at and in baptism that the penitent believer change states. Oh Lord, have mercy. It is at baptism that one, you change masters. The Bible tells us that before you become a child of God, you were a slave, help me here somebody, to sin. And that implies you were a slave to sin and Satan. Wait, it implies something else. It means that if you are here today and if you have never become a child of God, the gospel way, the Bible's way, you are now seen by God as a slave, a bond servant to sin and Satan. How can you change that? When you get baptized, you change masters. You cease to be a slave to sin and Satan, and you become a servant of righteousness. According to the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. But not only do you change master at baptism. At baptism, you also change your destiny. D-S-T-I-N, D-S-T-I-N-I-E-S, destinies. You also change destinies. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? When you are not a child of God, right now, if you are not a Christian, wait, I didn't say if you do not go to church. Because going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Joining a church, which for so many men and women, they did not become Christian the Bible's way. If you did not, it is in baptism that you change destiny. Meaning, you are now on a road to the wrong place. It is a place you know where to go. Oh, you know, Brother Mitchell, no man wants to go to hell. No man or woman. Unless you drink too much rum last night. No man or woman wants to go to hell, or unless you don't know what hell is all about. It is at baptism that you change destiny, which means that's where you change direction. Are we all there? It is at baptism that, according to God's word, you change. Kingdoms. Huh? Brother Mitchell, I'm a citizen of the Kingdom of Jamaica. Yes, I am too. But that's not, it's not talk about a worldly, physical kingdom. Turn with me, is it Colossians? Translated? Is it 1:13? Wherever there, find it for me, brother, and read it. It is at baptism.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness.
Wait. The power of darkness.
And conveyed us into the kingdom.
Let me hear it from the King James. I like how that sound, brother Jonathan. It makes it plain, but I still like how the old King James scholar put it, because they give thanks. Read.
Who hath delivered us?
Who hath delivered us?
From the power of darkness.
From the power of darkness. Wait. If you are here today, you're not a child of God. You have never become a Christian the Bible's way. You are still under the power of darkness. That is the power of Satan and sin. But when you become a child of God, when you hear God's word, believe, repent, and baptize, you are what, brother? Delivered us from the power of
darkness.
Darkness.
And hath translated us.
Translated us where?
Into the kingdom of his dear son.
Of his dear son. That takes place at baptism. That takes place at baptism. That's right. Not when you get religious teaching. Even if that teaching is right, the translation and the transformation does not take place. Not when you believe that true teaching. The transformation does not take place there. Not when you repent. The transformation does not take place there. Not when you confess Christ. Not until you are baptized that you change master from Satan to Jesus Christ. That you change destiny from heading toward hell and heading towards eternal bliss in heaven. And not until then that you change kingdom from the kingdom of Satan to that of Jesus Christ. But not only that, It is at baptism that you change, that you change, that you change state. S-T-A-T-E. It is at baptism that you change state. Mr. Mitchell, what do you mean? Right now, you are in what God's word describes as you're in the sinful state. Can you use another word, Mr. Mitchell? Yes. Thank you for asking. You are in the alien state. Mr. Mitchell, yes, we are migrating people, so I understand. I go to America, I'm an alien, and I do not enjoy the benefit that the citizen enjoy. You're right, so you're thinking right. Listen to the passage. Is it Ephesians chapter 2 from around verse 12? Listen to the passage. What is the point? We are still on the point that it is at baptism that the alien... Wait. Remember I told you before I started this, that it is at baptism that the Almighty God through Jesus Christ give the prospective convert a new start. That's right. And that at baptism all these take place, including the one we are on now, the state. Listen. That. You're at verse 11. Let me hear verse 11. It's really verse 11 I think I want, because verse 12 says, but now in Christ. Am I right?
No, that's 12 you need. That at that time.
Okay, let me hear 12 then.
That at that time.
At that time, Mr. Mitchell, at that time when? When Paul is talking to the Ephesians here, at the time when they were not Christian. And he's reminding them in respect to how they were then seen by God. In fact, how they really were. Watch here now. Wait. That's the way you are if you are not a child of God. But watch here. It is in your power to change all of that. Because the grace of God is available to you right now through Christ. So he's telling them, and by extension us, how we are seen by God when we are not Christian. Wait. Let us hear it.
That at that time.
At that time.
Ye were without Christ.
You are without Christ.
Being aliens.
Wait. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not telling us how your neighbor sees you. How you are seen at your workplace, how your husband, wife, children, or parents see you. No, this is telling you how you stand in God when you are not Christian. When you are not a Christian, you are without Christ. You are?
Aliens.
Brother Webb, I capitalize the first A-L-I-A-N, something like that. Yes. You are alien. You see, that's the word alien. Why we came to this passage, you know. You see, I said to you that is at baptism that your state is changed from sinner to saints, from alien to citizen. That's it. When you're a citizen, you are not an alien anymore. When you are an alien, you are not a citizen. So here, you're alien.
From the commonwealth of Israel.
And from the covenant of?
Covenant of promise.
Read on.
Having no hope.
You are without, just a minute, without?
Hope.
Hope. Read on.
And without God in the world.
You are without?
God.
God in the world. Wait. I always have to make a little break here. Men and women who are not Christian keep impressing me with how many of their prayer God answer. Break with me a little here. How many of their prayers God answer when God himself tells me many places in the Bible from Old to New Testament that he does not respond to the prayer of sinners. Many places here, God revealed that. And yet, the sinner men and women who live their own ungodly life, they remember God only when they want something or when they get sick and they're going to die. You know, many of their prayer. God tells me that he does not. Jesus Christ said, you have to be in him, which means you have to be a Christian for your prayer to be effective. And somebody said, what without God have to do with that? Just think. If you are without God in the world, how do you expect God to answer your prayer? The Bible says when you are not a Christian, when you are in this state of your alienated distance from God, how do you expect him to answer your prayer? So it is at baptism that all this change from the state of sinner to the state of saints. At baptism. Are we all there? Yeah. Brothers and sisters. Oh, Lord of mercy. Just let me run through this. Wait. I didn't tell you at the beginning, this really is a two-part lesson. Some of the very important things to learn about baptism will also come up in the second part of the lesson for next week, Sunday. But let me go through these few things quickly. May I, as I wrap up, I get back to where I started. That scriptural accepted baptism must have the right subject. Meaning, it must be a person that is teachable, that is penitent, and a person who is able to exercise faith. Mr. Mitchell, go back over that. The right subject for baptism must be teachable. Meaning, the person must be able to accept teaching. That means it cannot be an infant, cannot be a child. Not only must the person able to accept teaching, the person must be penitent. The person must be in a position to be able to make a decision to turn from one way of life to another and to accept his or her own sinful condition. So the person must be penitent. The person must be able to exercise faith. That's one, the right subject, the right mode of baptism for it to be right, scriptural, accepted by God, it must be a burial or an immersion in water. Baptism must reenact Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's right. For that baptism to be according to the gospel, accepted by God, the action or the mode, when we talk about the mode, we are talking about how was it done. That must be in keeping with God's will. No, it's your attention I need. You cannot have little water sprinkle on your head and claim that you are baptized in God's sight. Because God's word makes it plain what action he accepts his baptism to be. That was not left up to what we like, what is convenient. The mode or the action of baptism must be a burial. Read the scripture which you have now. How come you not turn to it yet? I mean Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 4. Oh, no brother, no should have it long time. Or Colossians chapter 2, verse 12.
Know ye not.
Don't you know
that so many of us as were baptized. Know
this wait, brother, take time. This know ye not going to play a very important part in the lesson for next week. Wait, watch it. Because this know you not, Paul is saying to the Romans, you should know this, implying that when they became a Christian, what he is teaching here about baptism, they should have known this. And it's like Paul is saying, have you forgotten this? But next week we elaborate more on that. Know ye not
that so many of us
as were
baptized into Jesus Christ
were baptized into
his death.
Therefore,
we are buried with him.
Therefore, we are sprinkled with him.
We are buried with him.
Therefore, we have a little water sprinkle on our head.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism.
You want that plain, brother? Huh?
Buried.
The brother says it's very plain. I agree with that. So you sit here, you go to these man-made church that sprinkle little water. In other words, they have replaced God's method, God's action, and put their own. Wait. And you think God going to accept that? That we ignorant, finite, Brother Simit used to say, dusty eye man, meaning dust is in our eye, we can't see plainly. You think we can remove what God wants and put what we like there and he's going to accept you? If you go to a church that does not do things the Bible's way, don't come and sense is telling you a time you leave that place. Did the Bible say, he that is ignorant, let him be ignorant still? So here the Bible is telling you that baptism must reenact Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. You can't have a little water sprinkle on your head and call it burial. The Bible over and over, it has shown us that God's baptism is a burial. Are we all there? So ladies and gentlemen, the mode must be a burial, an immersion in water, no other. Sprinkling confirmation, that qualifies you to join a man-made church, but it does not meet God's condition. And the design or the purpose of baptism must be for the remission of sin. Oh Lord, so much in store for next week. Because we want to talk more, not today, next week, about, did you know that a man or a woman becoming a Christian must at least know the purpose for which he or she is getting baptized? Must. And a person must not simply get baptized. You know, that church down there at Six Waterhouse Drive, it's close to my yard. And my wife got it. They say, me must be baptized. So me going to do it because them say so. Ooh, I'm sorry for you. Because if you get baptized just because a church says so, you don't believe the thing, you don't think the thing is that important, but you do it anyway. In the sight of God, you are still at square one. That's right. You must accept baptism for the purpose God attaches to it. Next week, we'll talk more about baptism is an outward sign of an inner grace. Wait, no. Brother, you have your invitation song. Hold it a minute. That's right. That means you baptize to show that you have something or you receive something. Look here. You have nothing spiritually until after baptism. Nothing spiritually. God's grace. Baptism is an outward sign. That means these man-made church teach that you are baptized to show that you have God's grace inside. Which grace? That's right. Because God's grace is available only in Jesus Christ. You want me to give you this passage? Well, if I do that, I'm going to tempted to give you another passage and another passage. And so let that wait. That's right. You don't have anything spiritual to show until after you are baptized. You do not baptize because you have. You baptize in order to get. Next week too, we will deal with this preposition. Ace. For. It is translated variously for. It is translated unto, because of. Next week we'll talk more about that. Let me give you a little hint. The word always look forward, not backward. Oh Lord. There's so much. Brothers and sisters, we're inviting you next week to come and share God's word with us. There's so much to share on this lesson about what the prospective convert must know. Yet you do not have to know all about baptism. Because after you have become a Christian, there are a lot more you're going to learn. But you must know the reason for which you are getting baptized. And you must make sure you baptize for that God-stated reason. If you're here today, remember, your master is changed at baptism from Satan and sin to Jesus Christ and righteousness. Your destinies are changed at baptism from heading towards the eternal hell and changing to heading towards the eternal heaven of bliss. Your kingdom is changed at baptism from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of Christ. Your state or condition is changed also, not at faith, not at repentance, but at baptism. From a sinner to a saint, today God place it in you to make that decision to change your master, to change your destiny, to change the kingdom of which you are now a part, religiously or spiritually, and to change your state. Another thing I like about baptism, there's so much. Just giving you a little taste of some of the things in stories that baptism is not something you do for yourself. It is something done for you by someone else, but you must submit to it. Next week, we're going to elaborate on statement like, you become obedient to the mold whereunto you were delivered. That's the exact original statement in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, that you became obedient unto the mold whereunto you were delivered. Another statement, yes, you became obedient to the form under which you were placed. Very important statement, saying a lot. It's like, you're ready, brother, with the invitation, Lord of mercy. Ooh, yeah. Thank God for God's word. And it's wonderful that the Almighty God have his word so that every one of us can understand it if we want. But we need to apply the effort. You are here, today, you listen to a lesson from which you learn if you are listening. You know that next week this lesson will continue, and there's a lot in store on the subject of baptism. If God is willing, let us encourage you to be here next week and to bring somebody. To bring somebody. Because the power is in the word. But right now, if you are not a child of God, if you did not become a Christian the Bible's way, yes, you might have joined a church, but that doesn't mean you are a Christian. You need to obey God's word, God's way. Right now, as we stand to sing, Christ calls you to become a Christian the Bible's way, right now.